Today, a federal jury will likely begin deliberating the fate of Boston criminal defense attorney Robert George. He's facing up to 20 years in prison if convicted on multiple charges of helping a former client launder money. But the government's use of a critical witness in a sting operation against George is sparking a strong reaction, as WBUR's David Boeri reports.
Ron Dardinsky looks like a guy you'd think about handing your wallet to if he ordered you to do it. Hands the size of hams, big shoulders, black shirt open to reveal a gold chain. Dardinsky claims he was a mob enforcer. He's the government's key witness against attorney Robert George. Defense attorneys like Joseph Krauske have rallied to support George.
I would be hard-pressed to find anybody guilty on the testimony of a person that I saw on the witness stand like that.
Dardinsky has testified that in a chance encounter with George, who was his former defense attorney, in 2009, George offered to clean Dardinsky's crime-derived money for a fee. At the time, and unknown to George, Dardinsky was an informant working for the Drug Enforcement Administration. And the supposed drug money was actually federal money put up for the sting. Dardinsky secretly recorded some 37 conversations. Joe Krauske.
I think the credibility of this witness that was on the stand is pretty crucial in Bob George's case.
In the annals of contemptible and outrageous criminals who've become cooperating witnesses for the government in recent years, the office of U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz has found a standout in Ron Dardinsky. Career criminal, repo man turned leg breaker and swindler, Dardinsky has had 2 wives, 6 children, and 11 restraining orders, one after he almost strangled his girlfriend. He's been a longtime informant for the DEA. They've paid him $75,000 over the years, $28,000 as a witness in this case. And believe it or not, Dardinsky has a deal with the government that calls for a performance bonus if George gets convicted. That's right. Dardinsky will get extra money, 10% of any assets forfeited by the defendant. That could mean tens of thousands of dollars or more if George is convicted.
Most people who observe the system understand that it's really a scandal that the government is allowed to use witnesses like this.
Says civil liberties trial lawyer Harvey Silverglate. When the government makes the witness's financial interest contingent not just on testifying, but on testifying well enough to win a conviction, Silverglate says,
then courts begin to hold their noses, and there has been some speculation, at least, within the First Circuit that such testimony should be inadmissible.
But it is not yet inadmissible, so Dardinsky is in the money if the government gets a conviction. Government prosecutors routinely explain to jurors that they would prefer to put nuns on the stand if they could, but they need such unseemly characters as Ron Dardinsky to get at the truth. In this case, however, Dardinsky has gone beyond being unseemly. Under cross-examination, he's been caught in numerous lies. The prosecution has told the jurors that what triggered the DEA operation was a chance encounter between George and Dardinsky after Dardinsky got out of jail. It says George offered to launder drug proceeds for Dardinsky, and then Dardinsky told the DEA. But then came cross-examination by defense attorney Robert Goldstein. Did you ever tell anyone you'd smash Mr. George's head in? Goldstein asked. Not that I can recall, said Dardinsky. Goldstein quickly moved to the contention that rather having a chance encounter with George, Dardinsky was actually pursuing him and trying to set him up for payback because he thought George owed him money from the past. Well, is that something you would recall, Mr. Dardinsky? Probably. Well, did you say it? Answer, no. And with that, Goldstein pulled out and teed up the recordings of phone calls Dardinsky had made to his girlfriend from jail, in which he vowed that he'd smash Mr. George's head in. Clearly, Dardinsky had motive and bias for setting George up, argued the defense. Slumping in his chair, the ex-enforcer Dardinsky was forced to acknowledge what he had previously denied, and Goldstein established that the story of a chance encounter was no longer believable. Courtroom observer and defense attorney Joseph Krauske.
He just sliced away at the legs with a scalpel. Cut the legs right out of the right out from under the witness and from the government's case.
Flustered by the line of cross-examination, prosecutor Laura Kaplan objected. The defense had not provided notice of the tapes of Dardinsky's phone calls from jail. She said, we've never heard them before. In other words, The prosecutor was acknowledging the government had never listened to the recordings of those jailhouse phone calls to make sure Dardinsky was telling the truth. Criminal defense attorney Harvey Silverglate.
Certainly, professionally, the prosecutor should have checked those tapes. They obviously knew that all phone calls from a state correctional institution or jail are recorded.
How hard had the prosecutors and the U.S. attorney checked out the witness upon whom they built their case? They've shown an apparent commitment to going after George. In cross-examination yesterday, defense attorney Goldstein established that Dardinsky, the DEA, and the same prosecutor, Laura Kaplan, though he couldn't name her, tried to go after George in 2004. They didn't get a green light. The charges against George are serious. The secret video is troubling indeed, and he chose not to take the stand. He is in danger of losing his freedom, and his law career may be damaged even if he's acquitted. The spokeswoman for U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz said she cannot comment during this trial. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.